Over 850,000 people voted early. They are expecting more than average turnout for this. At stake, whether a woman has a legal right to an abortion in the state of Ohio.
Israel's prime minister just delivered a televised address a month into its war with Hamas. CBS's Doug Williams has details from Tel Aviv.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu again dismissed calls for a general ceasefire, saying only if Hamas releases its hostages. He also said Israel will have to take responsibility for the security of Gaza for an indefinite period of time after the war.
And the FBI made a major bust in Massachusetts.
9.2 kilos of fentanyl that's made to be designed to look like candy.
Acting U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts Josh Levy says the stash is worth $8 million. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers take up several bills today dealing with higher education. One would require existing higher education grant programs to give financial aid to disadvantaged students instead of students of color. Other bills would guarantee Wisconsin students who graduate in the top 10% of their class admission to most UW schools, and those who finish in the top 5% would be guaranteed admission to UW-Madison. Meanwhile, the state Senate passed several proposed constitutional amendments impacting Wisconsin elections today. Non-citizens would be barred from voting in Wisconsin, and private money cannot be used to cover election costs. The amendments already passed both houses of the legislature last session. Assuming the assembly passes them again this spring, they'd go to a statewide referendum next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you've been enjoying the warmer-than-usual temperatures, you may have El Niño to thank. Here's Pete Schwabba.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration predicts that most of the country will experience warmer temperatures than usual, at least through the holidays. The NOAA says in a typical El Niño year, areas like northeast Wisconsin will see less precipitation. The Climate Prediction Center says that there is more than a 75% chance we'll have a strong El Niño this year, and a 30% chance it could be the strongest El Niño ever on record.
Another set of dual-language highway signs were unveiled yesterday on our state highway system. The new signs are on the tribal boundaries of the Forest County Potawatomi community. The signs name the boundaries and two creeks in both the Potawatomi and English languages. This marks a significant step in preserving the Potawatomi language and heritage in the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Craig Counsell says goodbye. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell made phone calls to his Brewers players last night, confirming the news he had accepted an offer to become the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. A five-year deal with $40 million, making Counsell the highest-paid manager in Major League Baseball. Brewers owner Mark Antanasio told reporters when Counsell called him about the decision to join the Cubs, his reply was, quote, "Are you messing with me?" College hoops. Wisconsin men's basketball. The Badgers win 105-76 against Arkansas State. That's the highest scoring game for the Badgers since Greg Gard took over. NBA. The Bucks beat the Nets 129-125 in Brooklyn. A busy night for Giannis. 36 points, 12 rebounds. Who said it was good having Chris Middleton back on the floor?
He's getting more comfortable, more comfortable. We're going to need him to be aggressive. We're going to need him to beat Chris. And tonight was just an example of his greatness.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 46 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, easterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered rain showers likely, 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Are you surprised to learn there's an international business on Main Street in Nacoosa? Jacoby Custom Cues calls billiards one of the most popular recreational activities. It should know more than 3,000 cues are produced there every year. Jacoby started with 2 employees in 83 and now has more than 24. For locally grown radio WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. There was a lot of it made, as always. Where to start? I'm going to tell you where I'm going to start. Today is Election Day. No, it's not Election Day in Wisconsin, but it's an Election Day in a lot of other states. And I'm going to highlight some of the elections, and we're going to talk about why it's an important little bellwether, an important little peek into the future on how the electorate is feeling. And what's liable to be happening a year from now in the general election in 2024. Start with the Virginia legislature. If you're watching the news tonight, pay attention to it. Pay careful attention to it. Right now, the Republicans have a majority in the Virginia legislature by a few seats. The Democrats have a majority in the state Senate in Virginia by a few seats. Governor Youngkin, Governor Munchkin, has the lean and hungry look. Jan Kasich has the lean and hungry look. He wants to be a national figure. He is secretly hoping he can hide in the weeds, and if Trump implodes, something blows up in one of his criminal cases, there's still time for him to go to the Republican convention and get on the ticket this coming year. He is licking his chops. He's like a wolf licking his chops. And one of the things he has to show in the Republican Party, has to show, is that he can carry seats in Virginia, at least his own legislature. Remember, at one time, Virginia at one time was a ruby red state a long time ago. Heck, Virginia, Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy, for Pete's sake. But increasingly, as people who work in Washington, D.C., have settled in Northern Virginia, with more military personnel going in and out of the Norfolk area where I was posted myself. I was ordered to a ship out of Little Creek, Virginia, the amphibious base out of Little Creek, Virginia. Five bases in that area, Navy, just Navy. Forget Army, Marines, Air, Navy. Little Creek, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, the Newport Shipyard. There's a couple of others. Terrific, a lot of people there. So it's gotten a little more moderate, and we have elected some Democratic governors, and we took over the legislature. Well, now he took it back, at least in the assembly. Be very, very careful looking at it, especially look at Abigail Spanberger's district down near Richmond. Abigail Spanberger is a terrific Democratic member of Congress in a very, very tough seat, sort of a red seat. It had been a seat that had been held by the Republicans for a long time. Take a look at how Assembly candidates and Senate candidates, State Senate, do in Abigail Spanberger's. if we hold our own seats, and especially if we flip the assembly back Democratic, things look good a year from now. If we don't, it's not the end of the world. Virginia is a state that you don't necessarily count on, but it's a little, you know, it's a canary in the coal mine. It's a canary in the coal mine. In New York, take a very, very good look at those seats and why. Well, New York's a blue state. It's going to go blue. We know that. We know that. But look at assembly and state senate races. And actually, the assembly and state senate is not up this time in New York, but what is up are county supervisor and things like town boards and things of that nature. Look at county supervisor and town board races on Long Island in George Santos's district, Anthony Esposito's district, supervisor, there's a county executive race in Suffolk County. This is getting in the weeds, but it's very, very important. If Democrats start to win in Long Island, which is a very, very conservative area in that metro area, supervisor and county exec, bodes well a year from now. It also bodes well for kicking George Santos out and kicking Esposito out this coming November. When I was a kid, we moved to Mineola, Long Island briefly. I went to kindergarten, first and second grade there. Born in New York City, Dad came back from the Marine Corps, got a scholarship to Fordham University in the Bronx. My mom worked for the phone company to put him through. I was born. And then some years later, we moved into Long Island for just a couple of years. And it's all a terrific area, but Long Island, you don't think of conservative areas, but Long Island is a conservative area by New York standards. George Santos is not going to get reelected. You know it and I know it. There's a guy named Swazi going to run against him. Swazi was the Democratic incumbent in that district. He decided he wanted to run for governor, so he left. Santos snuck in. Swazi lost to Kathy Hochul, governor of New York. Now he is back on the prowl, and that's toast for Santos. With Esposito's seat, if the supervisor and county exec races go the way they hope, he's vulnerable. Very, very important in terms of cutting down the Republican majority in the House. Then look north of New York City. Michael Lawler, Molinaro, Republicans. They shouldn't be Republicans. They used to be Democratic seats. If we hold county supervisor type, town board type things, county exec races there, looks good for us a year from now. The one I love, I swear I love this one, is Mississippi. Mississippi. Now, people think of Mississippi and they go, oh, Mississippi, and it's number 50 in every measure on, you know, educational attainment and all that. I have a fondness for Mississippi, and I'll tell you why. I enjoy playing poker tournaments, World Series of Poker type tournaments, and they had a WSOP event down there in Tunica, Mississippi. My brother Paul and I went down. Played some very, very good poker, enjoyed it very much. People were polite, terrific. Everybody enjoyed it very much. Most people don't know that Tunica, Mississippi is a half-hour cab ride from Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee is right on the Mississippi border. And I'll tell you what. But next to Tunica, very close by, is another famous town called Tupelo. You may have heard of Tupelo. A man named Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley was born there in the early 30s, Tupelo, Mississippi. I played in some games with the fellas from Tupelo. Very, very fine guys. Well, Elvis Presley has a shirt-tail cousin of some sort named Brandon Presley. And Brandon Presley is our Democratic nominee for governor of Mississippi. And he's on the ballot today. Today. And unlike past elections where Republicans sweep, he is essentially tied with the incumbent, a guy named Tate Reeves. I love these names. Tate Reeves, that's his name. Tate Reeves is a problem. He's a corruption problem in the Republican Party down there. Very, very sad corruption issue. In 2019, the last gubernatorial race down there, the Democrat got 46.8% of the vote against Tate Reeves. Truth is that Mississippi has an odd law. If you get over 50%, you're golden. If you get under 50, there's a runoff. And in this case, we want to make sure that Brandon Presley either gets over 50 or so close to it that Tate Reeves doesn't get over 50, and we have another election between the two of them. I really have my hopes out. I would love to see a Democratic governor of Mississippi, and I would love to see Elvis Presley's cousin as governor of Mississippi as a Democrat. In Kentucky, Andy Beshear, incumbent Democrat. I don't know how he does it. Tell you what, in 2020, Biden lost Kentucky by 26 points. And yet, Andy Beshear won last time, and I think he's going to win again this time. Why is that? First of all, his father was governor, and the Beshear name is really well-regarded down there, and he is personally well-liked. And the guy he beat last time, and it was a real close race, was a real no goodnik. Think of George Santos, Lauren Boebert, Ted Cruz, and Matt Gaetz rolled into one, and that would be the guy that Beshear beat. And he only beat him by a little bit. This guy was so nasty. You're not going to believe this. In revenge against the electorate for throwing him out, he pardoned not just corrupt donors to the Republican Party, he pardoned a home invader who brutalized sexually and murdered people in a home to rob them. He did not know the guy, had no relationship with the guy, but he unleashed a monster back into the state in retaliation. That's the kind of guy he was. A vengeful guy, very, very nasty, extremely nasty, vengeful guy. We have other races that are on the hook tomorrow. We have an abortion question on the ballot in Ohio. In Michigan, we have some races that will determine whether we keep the majority. In Rhode Island, there's an interesting race. Rhode Island is a blue state. I went to high school in Rhode Island. It's a blue state. Blue state. But, remember this fellow Cicilline stepped down, special election. There's a Democrat running to succeed him in Congress. He's definitely going to make it. You could bet the farm on it. The question is, what is the margin over the Republican? How enthusiastic are the Democrats? Keep these things in mind. This is very, very important. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Right now, Democrats have a 5-2 majority, 5-2. Here in Wisconsin, it's 4-3, but we have 5-2 in Pennsylvania. There's an open seat, Democrats running, Republicans running. If the Democrat wins, we keep the 5-2 majority. If the Democrat loses, we have a 4-3 majority. So why am I even bringing that up? Well, the truth is, Pennsylvania has some Trump supporters. Biden won there. He's going to win again. But you need a Supreme Court that enforces the law, and a Republican Supreme Court frequently does not enforce the law. So 5-2 makes me more comfortable than 4-3. But more importantly, what does it show about enthusiasm in the state of Pennsylvania? Enthusiasm in the state of Pennsylvania. Some of these races that I just described, we're talking enthusiasm. Turnout. The other ones, we're talking about, do we flip? Terrific night. Ordering a pizza, sit there and watch the races all around the country. It's very, very important. Coming up next, a peek at Trump and his lawyers in New York and some things that you will not believe. All coming up next.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. What does it say? Beware. If you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of serious consequences from RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus. Compared to adults younger than 60...
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. RSV vaccines, including Pfizer's, are available. Learn more at BewareOfRSV.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors of possibility to all students, no exceptions. I'm Peggy Wirtz Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. WEAC, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
They're open, 844-967-2789. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get weirder and cheaper on Trump's part and his lawyers in the fraud case in New York against him, it's a $250 million case, and as I've listened to some of the evidence, he may actually get nailed for more than that. Much more importantly, he also could be barred from doing business in New York. He could be barred from doing business in New York, and he also could have his certificates yanked for some of his present properties. He could have a receiver appointed. The receiver could sell some properties without his consent or participation to pay off judgments against him. His back is against the wall. And you know what his main defense is, if I can boil it down, because I've listened to all his baloney? To boil it down, it's basically, okay, I'm a shyster and a fraud, but everybody in commercial real estate is a shyster and a fraud. The banks know that, and they take that into account. That is not a strong defense. So here are a couple of updates, and they even surprised me. You know that when he was on the stand, he just kept shouting at the judge how unfair it was. This one is a hack, is a racist. That one is biased. Right to the judge, in his face. Got in the judge's face. The judge finally said, look, this is not a campaign rally. Don't give political speeches, answer the question. And all Trump did was give a campaign speech to the point where the judge finally said, if you don't start answering the questions, I'm going to take you off the stand, tell you to step down, because you obviously, it's similar to taking the fifth. You don't take the fifth, but you just start talking about unrelated things. And at some point, the judge yanks you off. And what Trump may not have understood was that he can draw the same inference from that, that Trump is not answering questions because the answers would be bad for him, and the judge will fill in the bad answers, just like taking the fifth in a civil trial. But a couple of things surprised me, and here are the updates. First of all, this Alina Haba is a real piece of work, this lawyer. She's not a very good lawyer, not a great lawyer. And all she's doing is mimicking Trump to get in his good graces. And she has attacked in kind of obliquely the judge and the clerk, although the judge extended the gag order on the clerk to all of Trump's lawyers, as well as Trump, on Friday at the end of the day. But here's what Elena Hobbs just said, quote, Letitia James is just not that bright. That's what she said. Well, let me tell you something. First of all, you don't say that about a judge or a lawyer, a court staff. You just don't say something like that. Secondly, Letitia James is very smart. That's my assessment after listening to her speak and looking at her legal strategy. But more importantly, Letitia James beat Elena Hobbs on a summary judgment motion and got summary judgment entered for the plaintiff. You know how hard that is? I've been involved in many dozens of summary judgment motions, both on both sides of the issues, over almost 40 years. Usually they're brought by the defendant. The defendant says, judge, assume that everything the other side says is right. Here's some affidavits and some evidence. They can't refute them. No reasonable jury could conclude otherwise. Dismiss this case. That's what 90% of them are. But in 10%, 5% of them, the plaintiff goes, I want a lot of money from these people and there's no way they can defend it. And here's the evidence. And the judge says, I'm with you. That's very rare. The defendants can get up and say, look, I want my day in court, to a jury or the judge. Very, very difficult to get summary judgment as a plaintiff. And she did. So when a lawyer like Elena Hobbs says Letitia James is not too bright, and Letitia James not only beat her, but beat her in a very, very rare summary judgment motion. It's like saying, you know, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Brett Favre weren't really good quarterbacks. Yeah, they burned me on an 80-yard pass and I lost the game, but they're not very good. People go, oh, okay. What a lame excuse is what they go. Okay, what a lame excuse. Next, take a look at Trump's lawyers. Elena Hobbs, or Habba rather. Sidney Powell. Are you kidding me? Giuliani. I mean, some of the other lawyers have ended up with criminal charges against them. Some have ended up with convictions. Chesbro ended up with a conviction. For Trump's lawyers to attack successful lawyers against them, it's cheap. It doesn't have any resonance at all. It's not going to please the judge, believe me. They also announced two things. The state, Letitia James, announced, you know, Ivanka is going to go on the stand, I think, tomorrow. And when she's done, the attorney general, the plaintiff's going to rest. That means it's term of art. It means, Your Honor, I rest my case. I'm not putting nothing else in. At this stage, nothing else in. If the other side goes on with evidence, I'm going to cross-examine them, and then I may want rebuttal evidence. But if nothing else happens, that's it. Well, normally what happens then, and I've done it in that position too, is the defense goes, I moved to dismiss. There was not enough evidence. That's very, very common. This clown, Elena Hobbs, or Habba, goes, we're going to move to dismiss, okay, as a mistrial. That's a separate deal. A mistrial. That means there was something improper that occurred, perhaps unethical, perhaps a simple mistake that invalidates the whole thing, and you got to throw it all out and start again. Let's hold the phone here for a second. What's the mistrial? The mistrial was that the judge and his clerk, and clerk, what's with the clerk? I was a clerk. The clerk was biased. First of all, the clerk wasn't biased. Secondly, who cares if the clerk was biased? Clerk doesn't get to decide anything. She has no discretion whatsoever. But then they go, Judge Erdogan committed error, and we need a new trial because he didn't let Trump talk indefinitely. Now, wait a minute. Let's hold the phone on that. Erdogan said to him, the judge goes, answer the question. We don't want a political speech. Trump would talk for 10 minutes, shouting at him, shouting at everybody. There's a lot. Listen, if this were a case I was involved in and I did that, the judge would have entered judgment against me and put me in the holding cell for a couple of days. He doesn't want to put Trump in the holding cell because Trump has Secret Service protection and it's a big deal, blah, blah, blah. The guy's getting handled with kid gloves. I don't like the fact that he's getting handled with kid gloves, but he is. So they are going to move for a mistrial, not just a motion to dismiss. The judge is going to deny it. This is after Ivanka Trump testifies, probably starting tomorrow. Now, what is Ivanka Trump even going to talk about? She wasn't deposed. There's no deposition taken of her. Good lawyers, Letitia James is a good lawyer. They don't like to ask questions that they don't know the answer to. But they're going to talk to her. Apparently, they want to nail some things down at Deutsche Bank, where she was the one that was the principal on the loan, negotiating the loan. Okay, let's see what else is going on. We're going to have time, temperature, ID, and news coming up. Let's see what else is going on.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Members of the United Auto Workers in Wisconsin will soon vote on new contracts with America's largest automakers. The union and the companies have reached tentative deals for the next 4.5 years. General Motors workers in Hudson and Stellantis workers in Milwaukee are already back on the job, even though the Milwaukee facility is slated to close. Ford workers in Menominee never walked out. Former President Donald Trump leads President Biden in a new poll from the New York Times and Siena College. That survey has Trump leading in key battleground states like Wisconsin, as well as Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That's despite facing dozens of criminal charges in 4 different cases. The survey polled about 600 registered voters in each of the 6 states. The presidential election is 1 year away. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, November 8th. The Wisconsin Rapids Wastewater Treatment Commission will meet at 1:30 at the Treatment Plant Conference Room. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission will meet at 2 in their conference room. The McMillan Memorial Library Finance Committee meeting will be held at 4 in the McCourt Conference Room, followed by the Building and Grounds Committee meeting at 5. The Village of Buren will have their Finance and Budget Development meeting at 7:30 a.m. at the Buren Municipal Center. The Buren Board of Trustees will hold their special board meeting at 5:30. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee meeting scheduled for 9 a.m. has been canceled. The Board of Adjustment will meet at 10:30 at the library, and the Traffic Safety meeting will take place at 2 at the Highway Department. The Public Safety Committee will meet at 5 at the City Municipal Building. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
The Brewers owner not happy with Craig Counsell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell deciding to accept an offer to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs, paying Counsell $8 million a year, making him the highest paid manager in baseball history. Now, Brewers owner Mark Antanasio let reporters know he was disappointed, saying, quote, Craig has lost us and our community. The next time Craig Counsell will be in AmFam Field is next May, when the Cubs come to town to play the Brewers. NBA, the Bucks picked up a win in Brooklyn, beating the Nets 129-125. Giannis Antetokounmpo leading Milwaukee with 36 points and 12 rebounds. Men's college basketball, the Badgers beating Arkansas State 105-76 at the Kohl Center. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
I think defensively we got better at the start of the second half. It's not helpful when you got your more experienced guys on the bench in foul trouble, but I thought our guys off the bench gave us a great boost. We've thought that depth would help us, and here we are in game one and it already showed.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 46 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, easterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered rain showers likely, 37. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 46.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Welcome back to Matt Pindirect. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a very sad event that occurred just outside of L.A. in Ventura County, Thousand Oaks. Very sad. You may have seen some of it on TV. There was a demonstration. It was not a large demonstration, apparently, maybe 75 people. But people on one side demonstrating for Palestinians, on the other side for Israel. And a 69-year-old man named Paul Kessler, Jewish man holding an Israeli flag, was killed or died. And the medical examiner said it was a homicide, and it is being investigated as a hate crime. When the medical examiner was asked, what do you mean by homicide? He said, well, we don't determine if it was a crime. All we can tell you that the death was caused or participated in by another individual. It's the DA that's going to decide on whether or not it's a homicide in terms of criminal exposure, send somebody to jail, and whether it's a hate crime. Here are the facts. I watched the news conference by the medical examiner and by the sheriff. Mr. Kessler was walking along holding an Israeli flag. Somebody on the other side came up to him. They haven't identified who it is, but he's a 50-year-old man. Mr. Kessler is 69. And Mr. Kessler was knocked down, hit his head, and had a brain bleed and died. The medical examiner said that there were wounds to his face, the side of his face, that were not fatal, indicating that he'd been struck, and that when he was struck, it knocked him down and he hit his head. There was a case like this in New York quite recently, not in the context of the Israel-Palestine thing, where a woman shoved another older woman, she went down, hit her head, and that woman has been sentenced to a number of years in jail that did it. There were witnesses that said that somebody came up and hit Mr. Kessler in the face with a megaphone. He went down, hit his head, had a brain bleed, and died. Now, I think this kind of thing, I've had enough of this. It's got to stop. Violence against Jews, not only on college campuses, but in these demonstrations, has gotten much worse. In past fights between Palestinians and Israelis, there are people that have gone into restaurants and beaten up Jewish diners, especially if they're eating at an outdoor terrace of the restaurant, punch them as they walk down the street. There are no known instances of anybody on the Jewish side who is doing that to somebody on the other side. In the colleges, there are banners put up that says Israel genocide. There might be a swastika. There are never, ever banners put up that I've seen on any college campus that is using that level of threat and invective against the other side. Now, what do we do about this? In Los Angeles or Ventura County, it depends on where they're going to try this thing, they executed a search warrant against this guy's house, the suspect. They have not named the suspect. And they have questioned him, and they're going to turn it all over to the DA. If he hit somebody in the face with a megaphone or his fist, let me tell you another wrinkle in the law in Wisconsin. If you hit a senior citizen, that's anybody, I think, over 60 years old, the statute, the exact age doesn't come to mind, but if you hit an older person and punch them, even if you're in some sort of fight with them, you've committed a felony. The reason is older people are vulnerable. They're not as strong. Their reflexes aren't the same. In in Wisconsin at a protest, if you go up and even hit somebody who's older, that will be criminally prosecuted. If they get knocked to the ground and have a subdural hematoma or some